Careful, I'll reach out and touch you. Oh my god! I turned on the boob tube this morning for no apparent reason, and here is the story already developing about Michelle Obama putting her arm around the Queen of England. I guess it's understandable. News directors from the networks are so desperate for something, anything, that isn't all death and destruction and economic failure, that they seized on this particular minute, momentary incident. And this is how media works. This is astonishing how this story just got blown across the earth. Unbelievable. And the bottom line that I can figure out now that, you know, Elizabeth II and Michelle Obama were just acting like a couple of normal people. You know, an older woman putting her arm around a younger woman and the younger woman just automatically responding. And late today, I understand that Buckingham Palace issued a statement that said, "It was quite all right. Nothing was bad about it. What's all the upset and all the talk?" Oh, I know. Please don't write to me and tell me my British accent sucks, because I know it does. But anyway, it's just. But isn't she a hit over there? Isn't Michelle Obama and her husband again pulling back from the real world? Let's pull back. Let's come way back here. There we go. Now we're over here in fantasy world. Way back here in fantasy world. Isn't it amazing to see these two? Barack and Michelle Obama, dazzling people. I don't think it's like Jack and Jackie Kennedy. I really don't. I mean, that, you know, that was, 50 years ago? Well, okay, not quite, but, you know, it was a long time ago. I think part of it is the fascination that a country that was born in racism and slavery has produced in less than 200, about 230 years, an African-American president. And that's shocking to the rest of the world. It really is, because 230 years to the rest of the world is nothing. You know, these people carry grudges for millennia. So 230 years, yawn, that was yesterday afternoon to most of the rest of the world. So, you know, here the part of the fascination is African-American president and his wife, both young, both dynamic, both extremely attractive, with these two gorgeous little girls, like, America elected them? How could that be? So there's a lot of fascination. And then when these people get close to them and find out, as the people in the girls' school that Michelle Obama went to today to chat with the kids, when they find out how human and real, I mean, compare this to George W. Bush and Laura Bush. Or even worse, Dick Cheney and that skank who wrote the sex novels. What was her name? What's Cheney's wife's name? Lynn. Oh, my God. You know, the world has had 8 years. And before that, they had 8 years of this horn dog, Bill Clinton. You know, if he would have put his hand on the Queen, everybody would have known what he was doing. Hey, baby, you want to meet me a little bit later? And his wife, Hillary, you know, the ice queen. So all of a sudden, here you have, after 16 years, and before that, 4 years of George Herbert Walker Bush and Satan's bride that George Herbert Walker used to be married, or I guess he still is married to her. I don't know. It's just, so all of a sudden here you have this young dynamic couple showing up in, you know, Europe of all places, not Central or South America, not Africa, not Asia, not, you know, Europe, where, as we all know, everything began. And of course, they're just blown away.
You're talking about Babs Bush, Oliver Cromwell's daughter?
Oh, no, not Oliver Cromwell. It was the witch guy, the warlock guy.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. What was his name?
Oliver Cromwell was a few centuries ago, Kathy.
It could have been.
Have you been into the cooking, Sherry, again?
No, it could have been. And before that, you had Nancy Reagan, who didn't touch anything unless she had a handful of Lysol wipes.
That's true. So anyway, so regardless of what happens, and I don't know, did anything happen at the summit? Did these G20 people get together and go, son of a bitch, we better do something before the world explodes?
Alistair Cook,
thank you.
Could have been the same guy, though.
Probably. I have no idea. But, you know, just focusing on, and why not? I mean, why not? We're all going to burn to death anyway pretty soon here. So why not just take a look at what Michelle and Barack Obama, with this incredible charm and the fascination that the whole world has, you know, like, what? This is the first couple of the United States? But we're used to scary white people that have, you know, nukes and are going to kill it. Well, you know, Barack Obama will still probably order his people to kill you, but they're still very attractive. Oh, they're not scary white people. Unbelievable. I watched the video over and over again today of those kids in that girls' school, all of whom were so-called minorities. I say so-called because, you know, I mean, if you want to really get down to it, my Caucasian brothers and sisters, we are the minority. But anyway, in that particular setting, you know, this school with all these minority kids, little girls sitting there, and just, I mean, the joy, the tears, the hand clapping, the singing, like, oh my God, Michelle Obama is here. You know, if the First Lady of France, say, or Russia or China showed up at a girl's school here in the Atlanta area, I don't know, what would the kids do, Kathy? They would just sit there and say, do we have to sit here and wait?
If they're in school in Georgia, they'd say, where's France? Is that near Ackworth?
That's true. Oh, my God. So, again, regardless of the fact that Barack Obama may just be a very nicely packaged predatory capitalist warmonger, you know, aside from that, he and his wife have this just incredibly charming ability to, well, charm everybody they come in contact with. It's incredible. Meanwhile, back here, the Republicans, you know, they keep digging the worms out of Karl Rove's throat and his belly and setting him loose. So what was Rove talking about today? You know, get the worms and the bugs and beetles out of him and the cockroaches and turn him loose. And he says, oh, it's a Chicago-style politics. Come to the White House. Oh, goddamn, Carl, go away. Please go kill yourself. Please go kill yourself. Honest to God. Just, you know, get one of those ceremonial knives. I'm sure there's some Japanese folks someplace who would be more than happy to show you how to do it. Just, you know, get on your knees on ceremonial cushion and fall forward. That's all. Please, Carl, please. But there they were, you know, making the Republicans back here doing what Republicans do. What John Boehner and the rest of these people presented their budget, and it didn't have any numbers in it. Well, we don't believe, we believe spending should remain flat. Jesus, God. It'll soon be over for the Republicans. It really will. It really will. Somebody sent me an email from a quote from Lev Tolstoy on wealth inequalities. And the quote is, quote, I sit on a man's back choking him and making him carry me, and yet reassure myself and others that I'm very sorry for him and wish to ease his lot by all means, except by getting off his back. Tolstoy, which put me on a Tolstoy hunt. Oh, Jesus. You know, I've never read War and Peace. I had a hell of a time getting through Anna Karenina, but I went on this little Tolstoy hunt. So I've got a couple more quotes when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Keep on rocking in the free world.
Doing talk radio right. From the left, it's more Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. I think you said Alistair Cook.
You know, they're just all old British white guys. And I keep I think that one was the guy that did Masterpiece.
I think so, right? Yeah. Alistair.
Right, many apologies. No one wants to be associated with Barbara Bush, I know. But you're right. It was Alistair Crowley.
Crowley. Yeah.
The Satanist, right?
Well, I guess.
Who very, very possibly was her dad.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. He was. He was her father. Leo or Lev, I had an English instructor one time that said, always say Lev Tolstoy, don't say Leo. So I'm kind of stuck with it. The quote from Tolstoy that someone sent me today, I sit on a man's back, choking him and making him carry me, and yet reassure myself and others that I'm very sorry for him and wish to ease his lot by all means except by getting off his back. And had to do, Tolstoy wrote considerably on wealth inequality, and that was a quote from there. And, of course, you remember, was it the opening line from, which novel was it? Happy families are all alike, every unhappy family is unhappy in his own way. Remember that? And this was one I really liked. Tolstoy said this: the position of the Christian world, with its fortresses, cannon, dynamite, guns, torpedoes, prisons, gallows, churches, factories, custom houses, and palaces, is monstrous. But neither fortresses, nor cannons, nor guns by themselves can make war, nor can the prisons lock their gates, nor the gallows hang, nor the churches themselves lead men astray, nor the custom houses claim their dues, nor palaces and factories build and support themselves. All these operations are performed by men. And when men understand that they need not make them, these things will cease to be. So if you want to get really long, it's been rainy here in Atlanta for about the past week, 10 days, and today was one of those real gray, misty spring days here in Atlanta. Pretty, but, you know, you can't really go do anything except hang out. And I spent part of the afternoon after Molly came home from preschool watching her play with the fairy house that John and Bridget had sent her. It's amazing to watch this kid play with his fairy house. And you know, just getting online and doing some Lev Tolstoy. I recommend it. Because most of us go, oh, yeah, War and Peace. Oh, Christ, I tried. I gave up. I just can't stand the Russian writers. Oh, I'll tell you one. Mikhail Bulgakov. I mentioned that before. You want to read a Russian writer. He wrote during the Stalin era. Had to be very careful in how he wrote. Bulgakov. B-U-L-G-A-K-O-V. Mikhail Bulgakov. And the book, the favorite one of mine, of his that I read, was The Master and Margarita. Oh my God. Read it. The Master and Margarita. Mikhail Bulgakov. But I digress. Where was I? Oh yeah, let's do our do we have time to do our nightly missive? Sometimes nightly from our economics correspondent. I don't think so. So we'll do it when we come back. But pray to the subject line is great. We are the masters of the universe, and we are rich, rich, rich. Really, we are. we're also going to talk a little bit tonight about Leahy bails on the Truth Commission plans. Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont. Remember the idea of a truth commission? Remember that? Also, there is an effort, believe it or not, to in the Congress to stop Obama from this so-called surge in Afghanistan, the sending of an additional, what's it up to now, 21,000 troops. So we're going to be covering that tonight, talking about it, and whether or not some of these governors who say they're going to refuse the stimulus money, are they kidding? Come on, give me a break. This is grandstanding. The Republican Party is dead. What's in its place is this cartoon figure, this Limbaugh Party that is run by, Rush Limbaugh and Ann Coulter and the Ho from Wasilla and Joe the Plumber and Newt Gingrich. What a collection of clowns. I hope it just keeps going. Just keep going. Keep going, Republicans. Oh, hell yeah. Keep going. Keep going. Do whatever the Limbaugh man tells you to do. Just go, go, go. The Minister of Information, Ann Coulter and the Foreign Minister, Joe the Plumber. And, theoretician, Newt Gingrich. Yeah. And the leader of the pack, the huge, bulbous, drug-addicted Rush Limbaugh. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Michael Malloy. Load of those things ain't been the same. See the blues walk in a town. You want it, I'm good, I'm good, cause you got that. Shotgun shine, shake my body. Throw in the red sound.
Well, it ain't no use sitting and wonder why, baby. Even you don't know by now. And it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, baby. It'll never do somehow. When your rooster crows at the break of dawn, look out your window and I'll be gone. You're the reason I'm traveling on. But don't think twice, it's alright. And it ain't no use in the turning on your light, baby. The light I never knowed. And it ain't no use in turning on your light, baby. I'm on the dark side of the road. But I wish there was something you would do or say to try and make me change my mind and stay. But we never did too much talking anyway. But don't think twice, it's all right. So it ain't no use in calling out my name, gal, like you never done before. And it ain't no use in calling out my name, gal, I can't hear you anymore. I'm a-thinking and a-wondering, walking down the road. I once loved a woman, a child, I'm told. I'd give her my heart, but she wanted my soul. But don't think twice, it's all right.
Cleaning up America one flying monkey at a time. It's More Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. This Patrick Leahy thing, Jesse over at TV News Lies had this nailed a long time ago. Just Google Leahy, L-E-A-H-Y, and then TVNL, TVNL, TV, like television, NL. Google it. And there's a video there from Jesse Richard, who is the founder of TVNewsLies.org. Check it out. But I think we'll wait here a second on to do Prairie 2's contribution tonight. This Leahy thing has me. There were two things caught my eye. First, at ConsortiumNews.com, Charlotte Dennett. You remember Charlotte Dennett. She was the woman who ran for what was she running for? Attorney General in Vermont. And she had pledged that if elected, she would prosecute George W. Bush under state criminal statutes for murder. She also promised, if she were elected, to appoint Manson prosecutor Vince Bugliosi as her special prosecutor. Charlotte Dennett and Vince Bugliosi and Bob Alexander all on the same page about nailing this war criminal son of a bitch, but she lost the election. And she's continued to keep abreast of developments within this what is now being referred to as the accountability movement. But she attended a meeting with Pat Leahy and a few other people that occurred the other day before Leahy made his statement today, I think, on the floor of the Senate. And this meeting, in this meeting, he acknowledged his failure, the failure of his plan for a so-called truth commission. This happened on Monday, and Charlotte Dennett says that she had asked for the meeting to learn why he supported a truth commission over the appointment of a special prosecutor. I mean, it's unbelievable. We had how many special prosecutors did we have? Three altogether to get Bill Clinton because he lied about a little sex play with his girlfriend. Wasn't it three? Three special prosecutors? Didn't it occupy the attention of the entire country for months and months and months over something as trivial as some kind of a situation between he and his girlfriend that should have been handled by Hillary? Hillary should have done a Lorena Bobbitt on him if that's what she wanted. But to occupy the entire constitutional force of this republic over that. And, you know, and these filthy, scum-sucking limbots will say, it wasn't about that, Mike. It was about perjury. Bite me. We all know what it was about. So nobody in the House or the Senate apparently gives enough of a damn about the U.S. Constitution or about what these pig bastards did to us to fight back, to hold them accountable. Charlotte Dennett says, we had asked for the meeting to learn why he supported a so-called truth commission over the appointment of a special prosecutor halfway through the allotted 30-minute meeting. And she says that Leahy took up much of the time explaining why he was not generally opposed to prosecution. You know, Leahy had been a district attorney for what, a decade? And I read someplace that he had, right here, he had the highest conviction rate in Vermont. Leahy. Anyway, Charlotte Dennett writes, he told us that his truth commission had failed to get the broad support it needed in Congress, and since he couldn't get one Republican to come behind the plan, quote, it's not going to happen, end quote. What? I had to read that sentence again. Because Leahy couldn't get one Republican to come on board, this criminal son of a bitch and the people who did what they did to us are not going to be prosecuted, or there's not even going to be a truth commission? Dennett writes, it was a sobering exchange. The meeting had begun with our expressing serious concerns about ongoing dangers to our democracy, with the trend going to executive power while damaging our Constitution. In the meeting was a guy named Dan DeWalt, who had helped organize 36 Vermont towns to vote for impeachment of Bush on their various town meeting days. This guy, Dan DeWalt, said, quote, we are a nation of laws. If we have a system of justice, why not let it take its course? It seems to many Americans, he went on, that the rich and powerful don't have the same system of justice. Oh, really? And they're getting away with torture, murder, fraud, and Ponzi schemes. End quote. And then Charlotte Dennett says, by the end of the meeting, we were beginning to wonder whether anything at all was going to be done by Congress, by Attorney General Eric Holder, by President Barack Obama, by anybody to hold the Bush team accountable for its crimes. This is probably the most frustrating part of the Bush crime family. The fact that these sons of bitches did what they did, and they're getting away with it. How can anyone who teaches constitutional law, how can anyone who teaches high school kids or middle school kids about, oh, I don't know, separation of powers, how can any right-wing Christian who sends their child to Sunday school every Sunday morning, how can those right-wing parents, those Republican parents, sit back on their padded asses and allow their children to hear this crazy, superstitious mythology about truth and honesty and decency, knowing full well, the parents, knowing full well that they support a war criminal and a murderer who ordered the deaths of thousands of children just like their own. And they will do nothing. Nothing. To hell with the members of Congress. What about you Christians? Huh? What about you people who want your children to understand the Ten Commandments? Why aren't you doing anything? Why aren't you notifying your senators and your representatives and saying, go after this son of a bitch? Why don't you do that? This delusional bastard who said, well, God told me to invade Iraq, so I invaded Iraq. God told me to invade Afghanistan, I invaded Afghanistan. Why didn't God tell him to blow his own head off? You know, why did God tell him to go murder thousands and thousands and thousands of innocent children? After Leahy left the meeting, his aide Chuck Ross, according to Charlotte Dennett, assured the group that there was no one more devoted to protecting the Constitution than Pat Leahy. Ross said, quote, he has been persistent in the face of obfuscation. He got rid of Gonzales. I would challenge you to find someone who has done more to defend the Constitution, end quote. And then according to Charlotte Dennett, Ross let out a memorable one-liner. Ross said, he's all you've got. What? Leahy is all we've got to protect the Constitution? And as Dennett writes, and we have to accept Gonzales's resignation as the only punishment for years of gutting the law? She says, it took about 5 minutes for all this to sink in. And then fellow Vermonter John Nirenberg spoke, she says, I think for all of us, quote, if he's the only guy, Pat Leahy, this is not a healthy situation, end quote. And Dennett writes, it's perhaps no coincidence that the same time Leahy downplayed the Truth Commission, congressional aides were quoted by reporter Jason Leopold over at consortiumnews.com, and I'm going to share that with you in a second, that, quote, the focus has shifted to the economy and that pressure for a special prosecutor to bring criminal charges over the Bush administration's past actions could become a distraction to that focus, end quote. God damn. You know, I can't believe this. The focus has shifted to the economy. Part of the reason we are where we are is because of the absolutely criminal acts of various members of the Bush crime family. The unconstitutional acts, the high crimes and misdemeanors. So we are focused on some of the crimes and not on the criminal. This is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Dennett writes, Leahy's aide Ross had said the same thing. Everyone was focusing on the economy. So now, Charlotte writes, it seems the wrecked economy, compliments of the Bush administration, is becoming the excuse for congressional inaction after 8 years of unremitting malfeasance by the Bush administration. This is serious, folks, she writes. Appointing a special prosecutor had been the top issue on President Obama's website when he took office. Either he's not listening anymore, or his supporters are looking forward, not backward, just as he prefers, and just as his right flank desperately wants. It remains to be seen if Obama's huge base can get through to him on this issue now that he occupies the White House. If they cannot, then the failure to hold even a truth commission, let alone prosecutions, signals a return to the same old way of doing things. Deterrence be damned.
They classify in facts, expose in secret age attacks, the for the wealthy leave and all the poor behind. I am the egghead. I'm the commander. I'm the decider. Cuckoo.
I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
Sitting in a White House garden, talking to the Lord. But my thoughts would be busy, busy hatching if I only had a brain. I am the egghead. I'm the commander. I'm the decider.
Where is the outrage? Oh, here it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. This is mind-boggling stuff. So that's Charlotte Dennett, who ran for Attorney General in Vermont, writing about her meeting on Monday with Pat Leahy, wherein Leahy says, no, I couldn't get any Republicans to support the idea of a truth commission, so, you know, we're just going to drop it. Jason Leopold, writing at consortiumnews.com, although he has his own website, it's pubrecord.org, as in public record, pub, P-U-B, pubrecord.org. That's another site that ought to be on your list. But, you know, Jason Leopold says the same thing, that Leahy said the refusal of Republicans to act in a nonpartisan way has hobbled his plan for a truth commission. Now, he went on the Senate floor today, and he acknowledged that his plan could not move forward as he intended, just like Charlotte reported from Monday, unless all sides approached the inquiry into Bush's expansive claims to executive power with objectivity and fair-mindedness. You see, if he can't sign on a Republican, apparently, then everybody will scream, oh, well, it's not objective. It's not fair. It's just, you know, more Washington politics. And you know that every single goddamn right-wing talker on radio and television, and they are legion, they are vermin, they are everywhere. They're like a filthy virus. You know what they would be saying. They'd be screaming that. Coast to coast, border to border, across the fruited plain, 24/7. They don't care about the Constitution. This is why I say, a lot of people say, well, what a gratuitous kind of a ridiculous statement, Mike. You always say the conservatives hate America. They despise America.
They hate it.
They want something else. They want the fascist states of America is what they want. Leahy insisted, according to Jason Leopold, Leahy insisted that he had not abandoned his commission idea, but was, quote, not interested in a panel comprised of partisans intent on advancing partisan conclusions. Oh. Partisans. That would be people who believe in the rule of law, I guess. Now, these same filthy, I got to watch my language here. I just go berserk over this because I remember the high-flown rhetoric when they were going after Bill Clinton. Do you remember all that? I realize a long time ago. It was 10 years ago. We can't remember last week. 10 years ago when they were going after Clinton, when the House managers, speech after speech, especially when these vermin rat bastards marched across the Capitol Rotunda and went to the Senate chambers and presented their case to the Senate. Do any of you remember that? They dragged in everything from Cicero to the invasion of D-Day to the nuclear weapons falling on, or bombs falling on Japan. It was unreal. It was like somebody had laced everything, food, water, and air in this country with the worst acid they could possibly come up with. And everybody was tripping their brains out. And now that we have a case with actual criminals, with actual conspiracies, with high crimes and misdemeanors, with violations of domestic and international law, now that we have that, the Republicans scurry back into their wormholes.
No, we ain't going to do no.
In the floor statement today, according to Jason, Pat Leahy said, quote, I continue to call on Republicans to recognize that this is not about partisan politics. This is about being honest with ourselves as a country. We need to move forward together, end quote. Jesus God. Well, if it's bipartisan support that they're looking for, that has as much chance as an ice cube in hell. Republicans are not about law. Republicans are not about respect for the Constitution. Republicans are not about truth and justice and honesty. They are filthy America haters, every single one of them. They send their children to church. They tell their sons and daughters to go join the military. They hate this country. They hate it. A Leahy staffer who spoke to Jason Leopold on condition of anonymity said that if the Truth Commission does not come to fruition, that doesn't mean there wouldn't be oversight into the Bush administration's policies through, quote, more traditional means, end quote, such as congressional hearings. Okay, Pat Leahy, how about you? Aren't you the head of the Senate Judiciary Committee? Where should hearings begin? How about you, Pat? The staffer said Leahy has not introduced formal legislation for a truth commission, and it's unknown if he ever will. Now, according to Jason Leopold, he spoke to more than a dozen Democratic leaders in the Senate and the House over the past week, and they have told him they're simply lawmakers are simply not interested in an investigation into the Bush administration, no matter what form it takes. And according to Jason, those aides spoke on the condition that I would not disclose their names or the names of the senators and representatives they work for so as not to anger the progressive base of the Democratic Party. Oh, okay. Well, I'm not angry. Are you? All right, we'll come back after this top of the hour break. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy Show. You know, I mention these websites every night, especially when you know, when we find something that is particularly noticeable, and I'm sure you have your own favorite places, places where you go. Consortiumnews.com is certainly one, but Jason Leopold's site, it's relatively new. Pubrecord.org. Jason is one hell of an investigative reporter. He gets to, I don't want to insult anybody or make comparisons, but he is this generation, his generation, Cy Hirsch. I'll tell you right now, Jason Leopold is good. He has this this piece that we're quoting from right now. It was on consortiumnews.com today, and I'm also sure it was on his website, that Pat Leahy and the boys have decided not to form a truth commission because they can't get a Republican to go along with them on this. Let me go back to this, because Leahy was on the floor of the Senate today blubbering and making his statements about why he was going to become an accessory after the fact to the shredding of what George Bush called that goddamn piece of paper, the U.S. Constitution, and why Patrick Leahy, this is his cover. You know, someone got to Leahy and said, don't do this, old man, don't do this. So his cover is, well, I can't defend the Constitution of the United States. Don't senators take an oath to that effect? I don't know. I don't know what oath they take. But not Leahy. He's not going to do it. And this cowardly son of a bitch, I don't care how you phrase it, this is cowardice, purely and simply. If Leahy can't get a Republican to sign on, he ought to move ahead anyway and let the world know there's not a Republican in the House of the, or in the Senate who will participate in trying to undo the damage, trying to bring the criminals to justice. But no. Leahy's not going to do that. Former prosecutor is not going to do that. The chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee is not going to do that. But Pat Leahy feels that he has, and he's done this, he has the authority and the power to pass on Supreme Court, pass judgment on Supreme Court nominees. I hate Republicans, Limbots, because they are subhuman. I hate Democrats because they are cowards. I'm talking about the ones in office. The Democrats in office, they are just cowards. As Bart Kopp calls them, pink tutu Democrats. In the floor statement today, according to Jason, Leahy noted that new evidence, has only deepened concerns that Bush abused his presidential powers. This is what he said on the floor of the Senate today, quote, in the months and years following 9/11, driven by an inflated view of executive power, the Bush-Cheney administration compromised many of the very laws and protections that are at the heart of our democracy. Their policies, which condone torture, extraordinary rendition, and the warrantless wiretapping of America, has left a stain on America's reputation in the world, end quote. Well, what are you going to do about it, Pat? I mean, you know, you can sit there all day and describe the crimes committed against this country. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. Nothing. He went on, quote, in recent weeks, we have also seen a few more opinions previously issued by the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel after 9/11 that had been kept secret until now. These opinions sought to excuse policies that trample upon the Constitution and our duly elected legal protections. He goes on. These opinions arise from an arrogant rationale that the president can do anything he wants to do, that the president is above the law. The last president to make that claim was Richard Nixon. We saw the results of that policy at Watergate. It was through efforts like the Church Committee that we revised our laws and moved forward. In my view, it is time to do so again. End quote. Really? It's time to do so again? Well, wasn't Senator Frank Church a member of the same august body that you are? Didn't Senator Frank Church call for an investigation into the crimes committed by Dick Nixon? So you're going to sit on your ancient ass, Pat Leahy, and not call a commission or a Senate investigation? How dare you? Sit down and shut up. You have no right to speak about this because you are a coward. And you, like every single Republican in the Senate, you, Pat Leahy, despise this country because you will not fight for it, for its laws. God, I hate these people. So what are we going to do? We're going to follow the Bertrand Russell model and have a war crimes commission about the United States and its ventures in Vietnam. Remember that? Oh, that had all the power of a small fly swatter, didn't it? What are we supposed to do, you and me, when the people we send to the House and the Senate will do nothing? What are we supposed to do? Anybody got any ideas? I don't have a clue. Leahy went on, quote, "The country will need to have an honest discourse about what happened and what went wrong. I continue to feel strongly that a commission of inquiry would provide us the best nonpartisan setting, in which to undertake that study and national conversation," end quote. If you want to stay up on this, don't count on any of your news outlets. Go to pubrecord.org. Go to Jason's website, and it's just unbelievable. Don't you get tired of this, truth seeker? I mean, really, what? I sometimes think, and I've had these discussions with Kathy many times. You know, what's the point? Sometimes, you know, during the day, we'll be going someplace, and I say, you know, what's the point? What's the point in talking about this night after night after night, whether I do it or Joe Blow does it or Mary Meatball does it? What's the point? We don't have any power. I don't know. It just gets unbelievably discouraging, doesn't it? I mean, does it bother you? It doesn't bother Republicans. Republicans are sheep. Screw them. You know, that doesn't matter. They are the most violent hypocrites on earth, are Republicans, people in this country who vote Republican. They vote for destruction of the Constitution of their own goddamn country. I mean, it's astonishing. Astonishing. They are, at essence, America haters. They have no respect for this country. Nothing. All they want to do is make sure the queers can't get married and women should not have a privacy to make a decision whether or not to abort a fetus. That's all they care about. Oh, and their little trip to heaven. Man. Kathy in Green Bay writes, now there won't be a truth commission. I guess we'll just have to go straight to the indictments, won't we? Well, yeah, sure. In a rational country. I mean, the Spanish courts. The Spanish courts are considering issuing arrest warrants for these sons of bitches, six of them, because of what they've done. Spanish courts. What about us? What are we doing? Nothing. And the rest of the world takes notice of this. Don't ever, United States of America, present yourself any longer as being for justice, as being for the law. Don't ever present yourself as being a bastion of capitalism that will lift the world out of its poverty. Don't ever stand for anything again, America, because you have proven by your actions you are a goddamn lying rogue nation. You stand for nothing except chaos. That's rough to take, Truth Seeker. You know, that is rough for your boy Malloy to take. It really is.
Goodbye.
speakers, gather round the campfire. It's More Mike Malloy.
Okay, Malloy, I better take a chill pill here. Jesus, I get angry. And if you take blood pressure medicine the way I do, you know when your BP starts to go up. You can feel it. You know, you can feel those little arteries just saying, I'm going to break. I'm going to burst. It's the time to back off a little bit. Bob Alexander, who working with Vince Bugliosi and Vince's publisher and his wife and Jude from Women Standing in Seattle and some other volunteers and a whole lot of you folks who sent in enough money to do this. You remember a couple of months ago, Bob cut a deal with the publisher, bought all kinds of books with donated dollars and fives and tens and twenties that came from you guys, came from you. And he provided the labor, and they sent all these copies of Bugliosi's book regarding putting George W. Bush on trial for murder and how to do it, and all it takes is one county prosecutor. Well, Bob apparently is listening tonight, and he writes in, he says, I never thought that anything was going to happen on a federal level, but locally. Putting political pressure on a local DA is the only game left. If that doesn't work, well, that's good to know, because then it will be time to learn the lyrics to O Canada. I can't believe this. I really can't. You know, it's very difficult. I don't care about the partisanship of this. The Democrat, Republican, left, right, liberal, you know, doesn't make any difference to me. Within the framework of this Constitution, one would think, there is room to fight and argue and carry on and have disagreements and so on and so forth. But when clearly criminal acts have been committed. I mean, clearly, no, there's no debate about the fact that, as a matter of fact, the two top executives in the country at the time, Bush and Cheney, have confessed. They're even out there goddamn bragging about it. They brag about it. So the crime, there's your prima facie evidence. I mean, Jesus Christ, is a confession not worth anything anymore? There they are. Yeah, we did it. So what? Why do they know they can say that? Why do they know that they can sit as Cheney has, and Bush before he left office, on talk shows and exit interviews and so on and so on and so on, and just sit there and say, oh, yeah, we knew about it all the time. Darlette in South Florida writes in, what's really behind the Democrats' cowardice? Big corporate money. She writes, I don't know why folks keep calling the Democrats cowards. They're not cowards, unless you count being afraid of losing some of the same corporate donations that the Republicans get. Big money interests must have gotten to Leahy, plain and simple, until these lawmakers are more afraid of the people than they are of the corporate money. We will continue to be effed without the benefit of any lubrication. P.S. Did you hear the Miami station WINC is converting to sports talk? Yes. Yes, we know, because that was the station we were on. But that's another thing. I don't know how you're listening tonight. If you're listening on the Internet, you will always have access to the program. If you're listening on a radio station, it depends on a couple of things. First of all, a decision made at the corporate level as to whether or not to keep this program. Very simple. We don't cost anybody anything. We don't. And the second is how listeners respond. If you, no matter where you're listening, Columbus, Madison, Minneapolis, San Francisco, L.A., Portland, Seattle, you know, wherever we're on, Tucson, if you think the program is worth keeping, then you have got to let the station know. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because the people that hate this program let the stations know. They will deluge the stations with, get that goddamn America-hating, anti-Christian, Jew-hating Malloy off the air, or I'll never buy the products on your radio station. They get this all the time. Now, granted, most program directors are sharp enough to look at that and go, yeah, okay, well, you wouldn't have that kind of a tirade about Malloy unless you listened. But it also is a good thing. And I, you know, I might be saying something out of school here that I shouldn't be saying, but it is a good thing. If you hear this program on the radio, then let the program director know at the radio station where you are listening that you like this program and you want it to stay.
And also, support the advertisers that you hear during the program, and you could let them know you're happy they're advertising.
But it's almost more important to let these benighted general managers and program directors who struggle through this. Every station that puts this program on is taking a risk, and they know it. So support it. That's all. Send them an email.
You can tell me which way to go.
Right now, Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. The other thing, in addition to letting your local station managers know that you like the program, and in fact, if you want to, let them know you hate it, because like I said, they understand when they get hate mail, they know exactly what that means. Hate mail is a clear indication that the writer listens to the program, no matter what they say. A lot of people who hate the program will say, I never listened to that son of a bitch. I wish you'd take him off. And program directors are a sharp breed because they understand how radio audiences operate. And they know, aha, got that guy or that woman locked in. But you should still, you know, a lot of these guys and gals who run these stations get very tired of just getting the crap mail, you know. So send them an email. Tell them you you appreciate the program. Their decision to run the program is what I should say. Because that's the only reason we're on their station. The only reason. Now, if you listen on the internet, we need you to become a podcast subscriber. It costs you 25 cents a program. God, a buck and a quarter a week is what we're talking here. Okay, now either it's worth that to you or it isn't. But if this program is worth 25 cents a night, then go to MikeMalloy.com. I'm serious as a heart attack, man. Go to MikeMalloy.com. Don't say heart attack. Go to MikeMalloy.com and subscribe. Take a yearly subscription. It works out. This is much cheaper than it was at Nova M. It works out to be 25 cents a program. A quarter. That's it. Now, when you get the podcast, when you download the podcast, no, it's not going to be 3 hours because the commercials are eliminated. What does it work down to, Kathy? 2 hours plus?
Oh, that's right. I didn't do...
Never mind.
I keep forgetting to tell people these are commercial-free programs. There's no
Right.
There's
so,
no stronger advertisement than that.
So when you get, when you subscribe to the podcast, you know, you'll get maybe, I don't know, two hours and 15 minutes or whatever it is. And it works fine with your workout. It works fine on your commute. It works fine in the bathroom and wherever you go, to, you know, where you listen to your iPod or however you do this. You know, a lot of people just put it on the iPod, plug it into the radio on the way to work. However you do it, okay? It's 25 damn cents a program. So, and I said this last night, and I've got to keep saying it. We need the support now. And again, it's not, we're not looking for a contribution. No contributions. We're not looking for that. I've had several people. We opened up the mail the other day at the P.O. box and somebody had put in a $100 bill. And who was that? Who do you remember who it was, Kathy? We sent it back. Huh?
It's our favorite guy out in El Cajon, California, who sends us all that delicious wine.
Oh, it was him. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Very nice of him.
It was. It was. It was amazing. You know, we open up the mail and there's a $100 bill. But that what we need you to do is go to the website, go to MikeMalloy.com, and sign up to get these podcasts. And there's going to be other stuff. We are seriously thinking about, you know, I mentioned this the other night. We're bringing back Malloy's Uncensored Mailbag this weekend, I think, which is only available to subscribers because we use bad words. I mean, really bad words. The bad words that these right-wingers write to me and to Kathy and to our 4.5-year-old child. So we'll be sharing those with you on the video. Fairly soon, aren't we going to have video? We're going to do this. We're going to video this show, live streaming video, right? That's coming.
I think that is coming at some point, which means I can no longer sit in here and eat ice cream in my pajamas. But, or
well, depends on what you depends on what kind of pajamas you wear.
And what kind of ice cream I mean.
That's very true. So there's that. There's also, we're going to do this. We've been talking about this. We have a real good writer out in Seattle who is writing these Mike Malloy Gumshoe, Radio Gumshoe segments that we've looked at a couple of scripts now, and they're pretty interesting. If you listened to us read a couple of years ago, 1984, give you an idea of, you know, what we can do with a reading, the Mighty Malloy Radio Players. We'll put this together. So the point I'm trying to make, and this also will be for the subscribers. So, if this were like $100 a year or $200 or $300, okay. It's not. It's $1.25 a week. It's 25 cents a show. So come on, y'all. Sign up now. Let's launch this thing. We have officially been on the air now since Monday. And this is Thursday. So, haven't been on that long in terms of the official, you know, I mean, of course, we worked our way through that hideous train wreck that was Nova M and On Second Thought and Air America, and we're here. And if we don't have to worry any longer about, you know, some radio company failing, and that leaves us out in the cold. Not going to happen, because now it's contained. Right here. But in order for it to maintain, I mean, come on. You know, nothing's free. This is damn near free. And the live streaming will always be free. And if you listen to this program on the radio, that's always free. But we're talking about the podcast. So support the program by becoming a subscriber. We have a bunch of other stuff that we're planning on launching also that you're going to find really interesting. The live web streaming, I don't know, man. That's pretty risky, but.
And there's going to be swag soon, too. You know, gear, baseball caps, T-shirts, that kind of thing. If you are so inclined, if you're a bumper sticker person, or if you're like me, you put them on very lightly so you can take them off when you drive outside of, you know, the metro Atlanta area into rural Georgia, and you don't want to run up against a guy with a gun rack and a, you know, God Guns and Moses and Ashcroft and Charlton Heston sticker on his car.
Well, you don't want a shootout, because when we go deep into the North Georgia mountains, usually put a 30 caliber rifle in our gun rack. Normally, when we're driving around Atlanta, we have an umbrella.
Yeah, but that's fake. You just put that's a prop that I had from Sarah Palin. You just stick that thing up there so that we won't arouse any suspicion.
Right.
Anyway, the other thing I was going to say is that We're also going to, in addition to the gear that you can get, we're going to have a page up on the. A lot of people have been asking about how they can give away gifts or gift subscriptions. We're going to have that possibility too. So if you've already bought one and you wanted to give one to a like-minded friend of yours or a relative or something, or if you just wanted to donate one to a list of folks who can't afford to buy it right now, that will be. We're making it so easy.
You've heard me bitch an awful lot on this program over the years about no support for liberal or progressive talk. Corporations very seldom support it. Rich liberals never support it. They're dumb bastards of the highest orders, rich liberals, because, you know, this is a media-driven society. Everybody knows it's a media-driven society, and rich liberals refuse, utterly and completely refuse, to back media outlets or create their own to get the message out. They utterly refuse. So, you know, I've been talking about this for, 5 years? Shelley Drobny talked about it. John Sinton has talked about it. Just on and on and on and on. It's just becoming a real yawner. Who cares? Well, if you care, I certainly care. You know, we're going to be here every night, 5 nights a week, doing this program. And what we need is you to sign up. This is how you support it. 25 cents a night. Every time I say that, I just think, Jesus Christ.
Every time I hear you say it, I keep thinking about Sally Struthers, you know, looking into the camera with those big moon eyes going, you could save a child and get them some clean water.
Yeah, right. I know. I'm starting to sound that pathetic. From Prairie 2, do we have time now for Prairie 2? We are the masters. Well, we don't. Okay. All right. Well, I guess not. We're going to have to do him when we come back. I keep saying we're going to do Prairie 2. And also, we're going to start. No, not yet. Not yet. No phone calls yet, because there's still a couple more things here that are getting kind of that critically need to be added into the mix tonight. So we will take a break here. And we'll come back and do our correspondence from our economics correspondent. And a couple more items, top of the hour, and then we're going to take your phone calls. Don't dial now, because the lines are blocked. But during this break, if you're so inclined, if you feel like this show is worth 25 cents a night, go to MikeMalloy.com and do the deed. Come on, folks, we need you to do that, and we'll keep doing this.
There's no doubt about it, it was the myth of fingerprints. That's what that old army post was for. When the sun gets bloody and the sun goes down, ever since the watermelon, and the lights come up on the black pit town. Somebody said, what you better think you do? Well, it's not just me and it's not just you. This is all around the world. Over the mountains, down in the valley, lives the former talk show host. Far and wide, his name was known. He said there's no doubt.
Up to the flying monkey right. It's Mike Malloy.
Fat Charlie the Archangel sloped into the moon.
10 before the hour.
He said, I have no
from Prairie 2, under the subject line, we are the masters of the universe and we are rich, rich, rich. Really, we are. Prairie 2 writes, Wall Street became as giddy as a schoolgirl today, not over any diplomatic coup or sweeping agreement to save the world economy, but by a ruling from an obscure government board, the Federal Accounting Standards Board, FASB. It basically did away with reality, and without that pesky reality gumming up the works, Wall Street can resume doing what it does best, which is pushing a lot of paper around and proclaiming that they are the masters of the universe and they are rich, rich, rich. And how do we know they are? Because they've got it all down on paper. You see, what the FASB did under pressure from Congress was they eliminated the mark-to-market rule from accounting. This is, rather was, such a fundamental concept that you would not think there needed to be a rule. But what the rule said was, any marketable asset held by a bank on its books had to be valued at the market price. Yeah. Now that this reality has been done away with, nay, not just done away with, but dragged from its abode and killed, its home burned, livestock slaughtered, well poisoned, the field salt, the very speaking of its name, banned for all time, but I digress. Now that this reality has been done away with, companies are now free to value their toxic assets at any price they choose. Reality be damned. This will tank any effort by the Treasury Department to sell off these toxic assets, since they are now very valuable toxic assets as long as they stay on the books. It's going to do business as usual, and reality matters not. None of this making of things to create wealth or even none of this does anything to create wealth or even balance the books. We don't have to. We are the masters of the universe, and we are rich, rich, rich. This might have something to do with why the top three banks in the world are now owned by Red China. Now, I had no idea, that's from Prairie 2, I had no idea that that occurred today. So, any asset held by a bank on the books now can be valued at whatever. You see, this is one of the reasons I not trying to sound like I'm smarter than Barack Obama or his advisors, but even someone like moi can look at the overview of the situation without knowing the details, the really arcane little, you know, checks and marks and hieroglyphics that comprise auditing and bookkeeping and lies and deceit and cheating and sneaking, which is what, and gambling, which is all Wall Street is, ever has been, or ever will be. Without knowing any of that, anybody can look at this and say, wait a second. If we the taxpayers are going to buy up, if the government of the United States, we the taxpayers, oh, buying for the people, God, that sounds quaint. If we are going to buy up all these assets so these filthy, piggish banks can once again start the flow of credit and start this whole putrid cycle all over again, see? That's the name of the game. If we're going to be that insane, we might as well go ahead and be totally crazy and allow the banks to set whatever value on these toxic assets that they want. And how does something become, or how is something identified by the phrase toxic asset? What in the hell is that? Now, you might want to go to prairie2.com tonight. That's prairie2.com. He's got his question up tonight is, what is a derivative? What is a derivative? Okay, go to prairie2.com. Seriously, go there. Check it out. Check out what what our economics correspondent is doing. I don't know. I get his emails, and I think they're pretty cool. We get a lot of people say, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, go to his website and tell him. You know, tell him. Did I mention yet tonight about signing up to be? Yeah, I already did that. Right? I think I did that. Matt in East Jordan, Michigan writes, good evening, Mike. As our first African-American president escalates our insane invasion and occupation of Central Asia while unemployment and poverty skyrocket in our nation, I wonder what memos he will read tomorrow. Here's one he probably won't get, and apparently didn't get in his past. Quote, perhaps the more tragic recognition of reality took place when it became clear to me that the war was doing far more than devastating the hopes of the poor at home. It was sending their sons and their brothers and their husbands to fight and to die in extraordinarily high proportions relative to the rest of the population. We were taking the black young men who had been crippled by our society and sending them 8,000 miles away to guarantee liberties in Southeast Asia, which they had not found in Southwest Georgia and East Harlem. And so we had been repeatedly faced with the cruel irony of watching Negro and white boys on TV screens as they kill and die together for a nation that has been unable to seat them together in the same schools. And so we watched them in brutal solidarity, burning the huts of a poor village, but we realized that they would hardly live on the same block in Chicago. I could not be silent in the face of such cruel manipulation of the poor. End quote. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., April 4th, 1967. A year later, he was murdered. Right, it's time to start talking again. It's about seven past the hour. We were sent a notice by a couple of the listeners. This first one is an article in the Toronto Globe and Mail. And it's about the prisoners that we are holding at Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan, also devoid of any kind of constitutional protections, without knowing the charges against them, with no legal representation. You know, same thing as what we've been doing in Guantanamo, except it's 8,000 miles away instead of 90 miles. So according to the Globe and Mail, the Toronto Globe and Mail, there was a court ruling today, a federal judge ruled today in the U.S., that prisoners held by U.S. forces in Afghanistan can challenge their detention in U.S. courts. Now, that rejects the Obama administration's position in much the same way it rejected the Bush administration's position, the court ruling. The court ruling, the courts told Bush, you cannot do this. The courts have now told the Obama administration, you cannot do this. Now, as the Globe and Mail states, the ruling, which is almost certain to be appealed by the government, the Obama government, to the Supreme Court, the ruling may have sweeping ramifications. It means that hundreds of detainees held at Bagram Air Base may have the same access to U.S. courts as those at Guantanamo, which Obama vowed to shut down within a year. The ruling by U.S. District Judge John Bates was limited only to non-Afghans captured outside of Afghanistan and held at Bagram some 4 years. However, the judge also asked for further submissions on the rights of Afghans captured in Afghanistan and held by U.S. forces. The ruling echoes high court judgments in Europe and Britain that battlefield captives have at least some rights in the courts of the country that captured them. Jesus, why is that so difficult all of a sudden for the U.S. administrations to understand? In Canada, the Globe and Mail reports, the Harper government is vigorously contesting a federal court case brought by rights groups that argue Afghan detainees captured by Canadian forces have rights. That case also is expected to reach the Supreme Court of Canada. Last year, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that detainees at Guantanamo, including Canadian Omar Khadr, have the right to challenge their detention in U.S. courts. That was the third successive legal or judicial setback to the former Bush administration's efforts to isolate captives offshore away from U.S. legal protections, and so on and so on. Although Mr. Obama pledged to close Guantanamo, his administration had fought rights groups seeking to win the same rights for prisoners at Bagram and other U.S. detention facilities abroad. And it goes on. That's in the Toronto Globe and Mail, and it was from today, and surprise, surprise, maybe it'll be in tomorrow's New York Times. Maybe it's already in tomorrow's New York Times online, but this was posted the Globe and Mail's website at 6:30 this evening. Why would the Obama administration not just on its own, without the order of a federal court, since the federal court has already ruled against the Bush administration three times that we can't do this in Guantanamo. What is the difference between Guantanamo or our military base at Guantanamo, because they're being held at a naval air station, U.S. naval air station in Cuba, and they're being held at an air base in Afghanistan? What the hell is the difference? Why does the Obama administration need a ruling from a court to say, if you have them in detention, you must provide them protections guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution, because you are applying the force of the U.S. government against them? Why is that so hard to understand? Why is that not being done by the Obama administration without judicial pressure? Well, it certainly could not be that our charming, intelligent young president has decided to operate outside the law, much the same as George W. Bush. It couldn't be that. It has to be some other reason. Right? Also, this is from the Wall Street Journal today. Apparently, President Obama is weighing whether to deploy yet another 10,000 troops to Afghanistan. That's on top of the 17 and the 4, that's 21, another 10. But surprise, surprise, lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are questioning an increased commitment and seeking specific measures of progress against the deteriorating conditions in Afghanistan and Pakistan. When Obama took office, we had about 38,000 troops in Afghanistan, and his announcement recently about sending 21,000 more troops there, which would push the total up around 60,000. Now, according to the Wall Street Journal, Obama would decide this fall whether to order 10,000 more troops to Afghanistan, which would bring the total to 70,000. Senator Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, asked a very salient question. Quote, how will we know if we're winning? Oh, Christ. Wow. Now, that was at a Senate hearing today. And the hearing before the Senate Armed Services Committee came a few days after the Obama administration has rolled out its new strategy for Afghanistan. This is awful. I really can't believe that Barack Obama is going to disengage us from one war that we have no business being in and reengage us in another one that we have no business being in. If we have troops in, what, 130 countries? We have a military presence in 130 countries, don't we? Has somebody, I mean, can nobody in the highest levels of government get it through their heads that American empire is done? It's shot. It's over. We had our century. The Brits had their two centuries. The French had theirs. The Dutch had theirs. We had ours. It's over. And we cannot maintain garrisons. We are not Rome, goddammit. We cannot maintain garrisons in 140 countries. How do we do that? And for what reason, other than theft? We are not seeking freedom and justice in 140 countries. We are not doing that. So why are our troops there? Well, you know the answer as well as I do. Somebody needs to explain to our young, intelligent, handsome, vibrant president that he needs to get our people out of Afghanistan. And he also needs to not send more there. Somebody needs to tell him that.
Hey, truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
22 past the hour. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's open up the phones and get some calls. The number here is 877-996-2556, 877-996-2556. So with all the stuff that I've dumped out there tonight, maybe there's something you want to comment on. 877-996-2556 is the number. Oh, and while we're talking about Canada, this is not new. This was from about a week ago, but it's, it seems like it's getting out of hand. The Jewish Defense League of Canada, the director, Meyer Weinstein, said today that any Canadian organization or individual that invited George Galloway to speak in Canada would be looked into regarding their ties to terror groups. Now, this has to do with the Scottish Member of Parliament from the UK who was going to speak in Canada. A couple of weeks ago, I think. That's how old the story is. The Canadian government, the Harper government, denied him an entry visa, I believe that's what they call it in Canada, because of his position on the Israeli-Palestinian issue. Mr. Weinstein said, quote, "We want to make sure that the hate that the Hamas organization teaches will not reach children in Canada." He said this during an interview with Channel 4 News in the UK. Weinstein was speaking from CBC headquarters in Toronto, and he said that if Galloway attempts to speak in Canada via any other means, the Jewish Defense League will, quote, see to it that the Canadian government will be monitoring every individual and organization that has anything to do with George Galloway, end quote. The event that he was going to speak at was hosted by Concordia University, the Metropolitan United Church, and the Bronson Center. All, according to Meyer Weinstein, could be monitored or examined for ties to terror groups. Galloway, as you know, was democratically elected 5 times in the UK and speaks in Canada in every year in all major cities. Isn't Canada still a part of the, what's it called now? The English Federation? Is that too Star Trek-y? Oh my God, I've forgotten what it used to be called. The Commonwealth. There you go. Oh my God. Ah, isn't Canada still a member of the Commonwealth, or does the Commonwealth not exist anymore? I mean, doesn't an elected member of Parliament have a right to come speak? Jesus God. After an open letter from the Jewish Defense League, Galloway was banned from entering Canada due to what the Canadian government calls security concerns. The only way he could have entered Canada would be from a special permit from Minister Jason Kenney, and Kenney has said he will not allow it to happen. The Canadian tour that Galloway was going to participate in was over a 3-day period, and his lecture was entitled "Resisting War from Gaza to Kandahar." So it's not just in the United States where some of these radical right wing or reactionary right wing Jewish organizations, and they are Jewish, they are not Israeli, can exert enough pressure on a government to prevent someone from speaking. This guy is not, Galloway is not a Holocaust denier. He's not some freak. He's a man that has a position that is counter to the position, and not completely counter, but counter to the position taken by the Likud government in Israel. That's all. He has a different position. And the Harper government sounds as cowardly and stinking as Democrats in this country. You're going to prevent a member of the British Parliament from speaking because in your country? Because he speaks out in defense of people who live in Gaza? Oh my God.
Flying Monkey Free Fun and Frivolity with Mike Malloy.
It is about 26 before the hour. Dave is calling from Tallahassee, Florida, listening on XM. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Steve.
Dave?
This is Steve, Mike.
Oh, Steve in Tallahassee?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. My bad. Hi, Steve.
How's it going, B.O., Mike?
It's going great.
That's great. I heard y'all saying earlier you going to have T-shirts and bumper stickers and all.
Yeah.
Is that going to be anytime soon?
Probably within the month.
Within the month? I got to keep y'all on the air, Mike.
You what?
I got to keep y'all on the radio.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll buy lots of it, all right, Steve?
I am. am. I'm going to buy. I signed up yesterday, I think it was, for the podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get one for my wife and my daughter and all. I'm going to buy five or six. I got to keep y'all on air before I kick the dash out of this truck.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, Steve, is Tallahassee still on the map? Y'all have been getting awful storms down there, haven't you?
Well, I'm driving a truck. I stopped. It was raining pretty hard. I'm on my way to Jacksonville, but right now it has been raining, but it's slacked up right now.
Well, we were watching the news here. We had some bad weather here in Atlanta today. We were watching the news, and the panhandle had just been hammered. Tornadoes and all kinds of stuff. You drive an over-the-road rig, a big one?
Yes, sir. I've talked to you a couple times.
That's right. I know you have. That must be hell driving in a windstorm.
Yeah, it gets pretty scary, pretty exciting, whichever way you want to look at it. It gets scary when there's a lot of cars out here because you don't ever know which way they're going to go.
All right, well, take it easy, okay?
I'll do it, Mike. Listen, you reckon Miss Kathy could tell me who's going to make your bumper stickers? Because I got some ideas, and I'd like for them to make me some.
Well, we have a company that one of our associates is working on, and I think that's all taken care of. But
would that be listed on your website?
I think it will be, yes.
Okay, I'll go there.
Well, not now. It'll be up there soon. In other words, you know, we just, like I said, we just rolled everything out Monday. Monday just passed. So, you know, it's going to take us about a week or two to get everything up that we want to get up. So I appreciate your support, though, Steve. Hell yeah.
I was a founding member at NOAM, and then, you know, everything happened. And
right.
And it's gone, and, you know, I wish she was back. You and her were my two favorite, you know, talk show hosts.
Well, I appreciate
whatever it takes to keep you on the air. That's what I'm gonna do.
All right, thank you, Steve.
Yes, sir. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Drive safe, Steve. Take it easy. We love our over the road truck driving listeners. And there are a bunch of them. Thanks to all y'all. Joette is calling from Madison, listening on the mic, 92.1. Hey, Joette.
Hey, Mike. We just talked last week.
Yeah, we did.
And thanks for taking my call again. I'm signing up for your podcast, too, just one at a time, though.
Thank you.
So I emailed Bob Alexander. We have a rally against the buildup in Afghanistan here on Library Mall Saturday, downtown Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And we're collecting more signatures for the petitions and meeting with our district attorney Tuesday. And, you know, I was listening to your show all night tonight, as I try to do whenever I can. Thank you. And my plans with our petitions are to send them onward to not our state attorney general, because that's Van Hollen, and he's very Republican, and but to Feingold and Cole, our, you know, representatives in the Senate, and Tammy Baldwin, also to Senator Leahy in Vermont, Eric Holder in Obama, and, you know, maybe we should send them to the Spanish government. The Spanish courts are copies of the petitions that we get, because sounds like they're representing us better than our own people. So anyways, I was just calling again. I know you were talking about it earlier tonight, to just encourage people to not give up and to use all the work that Bugliosi and Bob Alexander did, and because it's all set up and it's nationwide, and you know, our prosecutor said he thinks that this is not his jurisdiction and it's federal, you know, level. And then my suggestion is that then the prosecutors that are getting the petitions need to put pressure on the federal government.
But the whole point of Bugliosi's book is it is not a federal level issue. It is an issue for any local district attorney who had someone within his or her jurisdiction die as a result in Iraq as a result of the lies that the Bush administration caused. Then that prosecutor on state law, not federal, just the state of in your case the state of Wisconsin, has a right, some would say an obligation, to bring murder charges against Bush. It has nothing to do. That's the whole idea behind this. This is what Bugliosi was saying in his book. It doesn't have to be on a federal level. It doesn't have to be all this, Spanish courts and The Hague and everything. Any local U.S. prosecutor in a county can do this if an American soldier was taken from that county, sent to Iraq, deployed to Iraq, and then was killed because that soldier went to Iraq based on lies, based on a complete fabrication. George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and the rest of them are complicit in murder. So if you talk to your local prosecutor or state prosecutor and they say, well, no, this is a federal issue, you can say, no, it is not. Did you not read the book that Bugliosi wrote and Bob Alexander sent to you? And that people contributed money to get into your hands, Mr. Prosecutor. You see what I'm saying?
Yep, I totally get that. And that's totally what I'm talking to him about on Tuesday. But I guess I just feel like if we sent them on as well and put the pressure on at all levels.
Well, I do agree with that, Joette. And let me answer you on the air here because I want to try to get a few more calls in. Thanks, Joette. I appreciate you checking in. I agree with what you're saying, that it's got to be a multi-pronged approach. The Democratic Party leadership has displayed its cowardice and its contempt for the, let's put it that way, its contempt for the U.S. Constitution, for everyone to see. People in this country, people in Canada, people in, Europe, people in Central and South America, everyone can see that the Democratic Party leadership in this country is willing to allow for 8 years a criminal enterprise to run the United States. The whole world knows this. A percentage of the American public knows it. Now, it is not up to Spain or the Netherlands or Nigeria or Venezuela to bring these son of a bitches to justice. It's up to us. We have the mechanisms. We have the legal framework. We have reason to do it. Because if we don't, then the United States is finished. And anyone who tries to teach, whether it is me, when Molly's old enough to understand government, the workings of government, or a school teacher or a university professor, if anyone in this country from this point on tries to tell the young people, I don't care if the young person is 6, 16, 20, it matters not, that we are a nation of laws, they are a goddamn liar. A liar. And I would hope that that young person would look that older person in the eye and say that. You are a goddamn liar. You had a chance, Mr. or Miss Older Person, to snatch this country back from the criminals that perverted it. And you did not. J'accuse, or whatever, however you want to put it. So, I'm not yelling at you, Joette, or I'm just saying, I am so sick of this. Nothing is going to happen on federal level that any of us can foresee coming. And the whole idea that Bugliosi and Bob Alexander had, or reverse order there, was to get this book into the hands of people who can do something. Now, if they won't, then case dismissed. It is 10 before the hour. Excuse me. Yikes. Thanks to our crew. You know who they are. Kathy Bay, Ben Burt, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Bruce Enberg, and yours truly, Mike Malloy. Email here from Jeff in Washington State, who writes, Mike, I think more of us should give our new, young, intelligent, well-intended president an extended break. It's imperative that we pay close attention to the final outcomes of the Obama policies and decisions. Right now, we're all so confused and busy with an overloaded plate of propagandized agendas and forced beliefs that we're not talking enough about the legislative bills being signed. And the bit-by-bit reversals of criminal laws and signing statements initiated by the crime family. President Obama cannot charge wildly into the abyss left for him to render us an immediate and sane utopia. He can't start waving a magic wand, or he'll either be called a messiah or Merlin or crazy. And to the best of our ability, we have to understand what and who his administration is up against. We don't want his demise a year later, as your previous email writer described about Martin Luther King. It's evident that evolution is a fact of life, so let's participate when we can to help and to watch our country and the Obama administration evolve. Jeff, I hear what you're saying, but I hope you hear what I say on this program. I'm not expecting Barack Obama to wave a magic wand, and I'm also not expecting him to charge into an abyss or to render us, the way you put it, Jeff, I like, an immediate and sane utopia. No, I'm not. What I do expect is that he, first, will not commit another 35,000 American young men and women to this war in Afghanistan that is completely insane. I understand that's a strategic part of the world. If nuclear war breaks out on this planet, it's either going to come around Pakistan or around Israel. I think we all understand that. Those are the two spots. Afghanistan, Pakistan, Israel, Iran, those are the two spots where and one of those countries will initiate a nuclear war. I don't think that the other people on the planet who have nuclear weapons are insane enough to start a nuclear war or afraid enough. I think Benjamin Netanyahu is a madman. I think the leadership of Pakistan are insane people. I think Afghanistan is corrupt down to its down to the soles of its feet. I think the mullahs who are in Iran, while they may try to put out the appearance that they are moderate, I think they're crazy too. Why? Because they are religious figures. It is the Islamic Republic of Iran, just like it is the Jewish Republic of Israel. When you have religious nutcases running your country and they're armed with nuclear weapons, there is no telling what they might do. Why? Because God is on their side. So no, I don't expect Barack Obama to waive anything. He can't. But I also do not expect him to start pouring gasoline on this fire in Afghanistan. in the same way that Bush did in Iraq and Afghanistan. If we want to track down the people who our mythology says ordered up the murder of 3,000 people in the United States, then get our goddamn troops out of there, because all we're doing is producing new bombers, because we are over there slaughtering Afghan civilians, men, women, and children, Pakistan civilians, men, women, and children. We are bombing them into red mist. We are killing them. We are not winning anything. Nothing. I don't expect Barack Obama to continue the madness. And I will not get off his ass in my little corner of the universe here. And I will not stop saying that he is becoming as criminally misdirected where it concerns Afghanistan as Bush was. That's all. It's one thing to maintain the troop strength that's already there and try to seek a way out so that the military-industrial complex in this country doesn't go completely berserk, but it's something else again to double the forces that are in there. Afghanistan wants nothing to do with us. Neither does Pakistan. American empire, American hegemony is over. Why can I understand that and the people advising Barack Obama refuse to? Or maybe they do understand it. Maybe they're all religious nutballs. Maybe we've got the fanatics in Israel and the fanatics in the Arab or the Muslim countries and the religious Christian fanatics in this country. If that's the case, then we are absolutely doomed. So I'm sorry, Jeff. I appreciate your email. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just saying. Barack Obama sought this job. Barack Obama made certain implied and direct promises as to what kind of a leader he was going to be. And I don't remember, maybe he did, but I do not remember Barack Obama putting on a face that said, I am going to increase troop strength. I am a warmonger. I want more dead people. I don't remember that. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.